Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Jim Thome providing one of the greatest moments in White Sox history, hitting his 500th career home run in walk-off fashion in 2007. He'd go on to hit 612 home runs, which is eighth best all-time. Will it be enough to get him into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot? Who's going to get in when the names are announced on January 24th? Who won't get in? We've got that and more on this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. You can find out more by going to wintrust.com/Sox. Chuck Arfine here to break it all down with our resident Hall of Fame experts, Chris Kampka and Rob Wiatrowski. Is this like, Chris, is this like New Year's, Christmas, and your birthday all wrapped into one, talking about the Hall of Fame?
It is. It really is. It's one of the things I really look forward to every year. It's kind of like, which guys are we going to add to the hallowed hall? I mean, I love celebrating the careers of great players. And so that's why I like to see the more the merrier, the Hall of Fame.
This is like in your wheelhouse. And Rob, this is something that you like to follow, finding out who's going to get into the hall.
I do. Honestly, what's fun is that when it comes to the discussion points of who should get in and people referencing like one season, well, in this season he did this, and what about that season he did that? And it all boils down to a career. And if, to me, best of the best. Best of the best belong in the hall.
So would you say you're a small hall guy or not really?
I'm more of the medium hall guy.
I'm a big hall. I'll admit, I'm a big hall guy. I think it's better for baseball. It's better for business.
You're meaning big hall, like put them all in.
Put a lot of guys in.
Okay.
It's just better to celebrate more players.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's fun for the fan bases of those players and the teams that get behind them. And it's just a big celebration. It's better than none.
Okay, so each of us have filled out our ballots, which we're going to get to. I'm trying to think, what's the best way to do it? Is it better for us to kind of like go one by one by one in terms of some of the hot button players, or should we just kind of start with Chris's ballot and then we'll go from there?
I say we start with Chris's
ballot. Go with Chris's ballot. Okay, Chris, give me a name.
He thought about it way more than we have.
Yeah.
So the 7-7 are going to get, for me, our Hall of Famers, 7-7. Bonds, 7 MVPs. Clemens, 7 Cy Young Awards. Both Hall of Famers to me. You know the deal. I mean, a couple of Barry Bonds fun facts just for the heck of it. 2001-07, he had 2,391 at-bats. If he went 0-23-91, he'd still have a .306 on-base percentage in those years. Consider that.
Yeah, I'm considering that and how big his head was during that.
2,558 walks.
Yeah.
Which is 43.6 miles worth of walks or 25.6 trips across the Golden Gate Bridge. How much fun is that, right? So, yeah. But those guys are Hall of Famers. We don't need to discuss their case anymore. So we'll move on to the next.
I might disagree, but
okay, let me finish
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Vladimir Guerrero. Me, it's a Hall of Famer. 318 batting average, 379 on base, 553 slugging, just under 60 career WAR. If you were to list all the players with 400 home runs and fewer than 1,000 strikeouts, you would get Stan Musial, Lou Gehrig, Mel Ott, Ted Williams, and Vladimir Guerrero. And if you were to say 400 home runs, 100 steals, and fewer than 1,000 strikeouts, Vladimir Guerrero and Lou Gehrig. That's it.
Okay.
This guy is an elite hitter, notorious bad ball hitter. Didn't strike out that much.
That surprised me.
I don't think he struck out 100 times ever in a season.
Yeah.
And he's just a dominant player, impact. Montreal Expos, won an MVP his first season in the American League. When you think about, when you've seen Adam Dunn go from the National League to American League, and you figure, man, these guys struggle when they adjust to the new league. This guy, first season with the American League, won an MVP. Yeah. So did Dick Allen. but anyway, that's near here. That's a different podcast.
Okay.
Moving
yes.
on. Chipper Jones.
Yes.
One of the greatest third basemen of all time. 303, 401, 529. That's a 300, 400, 500. That's a rare guy.
He's going to be, I think he's number one percentage-wise to get in this year. Right?
Yeah, right now, yeah. Well, we'll get to that a little later. 85 career WAR. He's the only switch hitter with 300 home runs and the 300 on base percent or 300 batting average for his
That's
career.
Impressive.
Right?
That's really impressive.
Only Jones and Mickey Mantle have 400 home runs and 400 on base by a switch hitter. So that's elite company. He's one of the best third basemen of all time. He's sixth on the all-time WAR by a third baseman list with half games third. That's put him in.
He's in.
All right, so I'm going to get to a pair of pitchers who I believe are in, Mike Mussina and Curt Schilling. So
You're
if you take a look.
Schilling in.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and let me. All right, so we're going to say Schilling. All right, let me just go ahead and say this. What he says outside of baseball, it doesn't matter at all. It should not be ever considered in this Hall of Fame case.
He's basically Ty Cobb.
No, because Ty Cobb, that was a fluke. That was a bunch of
Ty Cobb is one of the worst. I'm not saying Curt Schilling is the most rotten person alive, like Ty Cobb probably was back in the day.
No, but I'm going to contest that, too. The whole Ty Cobb thing, and this is another podcast, too. That
we
was
got like six podcasts that was a
bunch
already.
That was a bunch of repeated stories, and they're all false.
They're all false about Ty Cobb.
A lot of them. A lot of them. Okay. He was actually not as bad a guy as he's made out to be, but that's another, you know.
A whole other podcast.
Back
other
to Schilling.
Back to Schilling, okay.
Schilling and Mussina both have more than 80 pitching WAR. And in the 24th and 26th all time, in between them is Bob Gibson. Okay, that's what we're looking at here.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking the top 26 pitchers in WAR of all time. We, you know, it takes into effect how good they were in the longevity. Because what WAR does for longevity is you get more because you pitch more, and that matters. You see with burning out bullpens. 3,562 in the two-thirds innings for Mussina, 83 wins above replacement. All right. That's including a little for hitting, but, you know, 83 nation. Now, with Mussina's case, he pitched in the most AL East of the AL East years.
Yes, I
91
agree.
To 2008. And so this is the Yankees and Red Sox, like peak Yankee-Red Sox rivalry.
During PED
All
era.
Of that, too, yes.
Yep.
PEDs, the peak AL East, and he was great.
And he was a great defender, too. How many gold gloves did he have?
I think
like
it was like
seven?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Nine qualified seasons of at least 130 ERA plus, 10 seasons of five or more WAR. I mean, forget about wins. 270, not 300. That's not even a benchmark anymore.
Okay.
That's a Hall of Famer.
Move on to Schilling.
Okay. But Schilling, over 80 WAR, okay. Like I said, what he says makes no difference. That shouldn't be part of it.
Okay,
3,000 strikeouts, fewer than 1,000 walks. There's four guys who've done it. Fergie Jenkins, Greg Maddux, Curt Schilling, Pedro Martinez.
All right?
He's got three 300-strikeout seasons.
That's big.
Since they moved the mound to 60 feet, 6 inches, Randy Johnson, 6, Nolan Ryan, 6, Koufax, and Schilling, 3 apiece. We're looking at a very limited list here.
And he's not getting much love right now, is he?
No, and it's because people are discounting him because they don't agree with what he believes in. And you don't have to. I don't.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame case. 396 pitchers in Major League history since 1893 when they moved to 60 feet 6 inches have had 2,000 innings pitched. Nobody can top Schilling's 4.38 walks per strikeout ratio or strikeout per walk ratio.
Okay, so that's your seventh and eighth
and
or eighth and ninth.
I didn't even mention his postseason. There's that too.
Okay.
So there's those two as well. I did a full 10.
So that you up to nine right now?
Let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six. I mentioned six.
Yep. Okay.
All right, I know. This is taking a while.
A whole other podcast.
Okay. So moving on. Scott Rolen. I have
you
Scott
put
Rolen.
Scott Rolen.
Absolutely.
In.
And 70 career WAR, which is ninth all-time or third baseman.
Okay.
Right?
He was an amazing third baseman.
Yes, he was. And 6 foot 4 inch, 245. Have you seen a guy that big, that good at defense? I haven't.
Cal Ripken.
Well, he wasn't 245.
No, but he was like 6'4".
Yes. So there's eight players ever with 150 batting runs and 150 fielding runs. These are the runs that are components of wins above replacement. Eight players have 150 of each. Adrian Beltre, Al Kaline, Barry Bonds, Cal Ripken, Carl Yastrzemski, Roberto Clemente, Willie Mays, and Scott Rolen. And he was a
the numbers love his defense, and he had 316 home runs, over 800 extra base hits. He had the total package.
316 home runs, not a lot.
Yes, but 876 extra base hits.
Okay.
And with a, you know, OPS plus of 122, 70 wins above replacement. He's a top 10 third baseman of all time at a position that's badly underrepresented in the Hall of Fame.
That's true, but and I feel like he's just he was an exceptional player. He was like, Scott Rowland, good third baseman.
Very well-rounded. Okay. Very worthy, in my opinion.
Who else you got?
Edgar Martinez.
All right.
Okay? So, and we're not going to disagree. The DH, heck, Frank Thomas had
Bring
more games at DH than
Let
first.
Let him in.
Get him in.
It's
all right?
Position.
All right,
yeah.
So how many guys have 300 home runs? 310, 410, 510. Edgar, Helton, Manny Ramirez, Musial, Ted Williams, Hank Greenberg, Jimmy Fox, Lou Gehrig, Rogers Hornsby, and Babe Ruth. That's an elite list. He has the fourth highest career on-base percentage of any man alive, with minimum 3,000 plate appearances. Okay. Not active, alive. Okay.
All right, so I'm sorry. You have, like, so many stats here, but I think if there's too many stats, they just become white noise.
No, I don't.
So
I disagree.
I have to cut.
Okay. Okay. Jim Thome, obviously, checked.
Jim Thome
and
is in.
Larry Walker, who gets discounted too much because of Coors. He only played 30.4% of his games at Coors and still put up monumental career numbers.
Yeah, and half of those games were not at Coors Field.
Well, no, the 30.4% in Denver,
when I say Coors Field, I'm talking Denver.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the road for half the time.
Right, 30% of his games were at Coors Field.
Oh, period.
Period.
Okay, okay.
Or in Denver, rather.
Okay.
The Mile High Coors came in 95.
Yes.
They play a handful of games there. But we're talking 70% of his career was elsewhere, and he still put up monster career numbers. I don't think he should be discounted for it. Complete package. Better road OPS than Ken Griffey Jr., Reggie Jackson, Dave Winfield, Andre Dawson, all Hall of Famers. And he's the only player in baseball history with 300 batting average, 400 on base, 500 slugging, 300 homers, 200 steals. Put him in.
Okay. By the way, all of you listening, Chris actually has some of this stuff written down.
It's all there.
It is. How much of it is in your head already?
Most of it.
Most
but,
of it is.
You know, liner notes.
Yeah, he has a little
leave
bit.
It out.
He's got a piece of paper here, but you have been using so many stats that are much more than what I see in that piece of paper.
And, you know, and if I couldn't, I hate the limit of 10, I would put an additional 9 in.
Another 9.
Well.
Let him
and
in.
And a possible 10.
Okay. So here's where I differ from you.
Okay.
All right. I've gone back and forth on this in my head, and there's no way around it. I shouldn't say no way around it. There is either you took steroids or you didn't, in my eyes. Now, everyone took greenies and people were doing illegal stuff before PEDs.
Not,
I get it.
Not comparable.
Exactly. Well, not comparable, what do you mean?
You can't lop the greenies and steroids and say, it's like stealing a pack of gum in Grand Theft Auto. I think Brian Kenny said something to that effect, and I like it. You know, greenies is a strong cup of coffee.
That's okay. So you agree with
steroids
me.
Change your physiology.
Exactly. So I cannot put in Barry Bonds. I can't put in Roger Clemens, or there's like Manny Ramirez. I don't want him in the Hall of Fame. I don't want him in.
I disagree with you. I completely understand, though.
Yeah.
I can't knock an opinion that you shouldn't be. I get it. You know, I get it. I respect it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, so my ballot is very clean. I'm not saying better, just cleaner. Trevor Hoffman is in the Hall of Fame in my eyes. He's on my ballot. I got Chipper Jones,
mm-hmm.
Edgar Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm putting Fred McGriff in the Hall. Now, why am I putting Fred McGriff in the Hall? He's only going to get, he's got like 17% of the vote right now.
Because of the Tom Emanski video.
Right? Exactly. He's in the Tom Emanski baseball video. But no, from 1988 to 1994, from the time when he was 24 years old to 30, he was one of the best hitters in the game. He averaged 35 homers, 95 RBIs. During that stretch, he had more home runs than Barry Bonds during Bonds' clean years. And in the playoffs, he batted .303 with 10 homers, 37 RBIs. He had 494 home runs for his career. I want him in the Hall of Fame. And he looks very clean. Mike Mussina, in. Jim Thome, in. Omar Vizquel, in. You want to talk about Vizquel?
Yeah, I'll talk about him. I'll give you my viewpoint.
Okay.
Now, let me say that I wouldn't vote him in.
Okay.
If he gets voted in, great. I'm not going to be angry about it because I like to celebrate players. I just think that there's a whole list of people, maybe 19, that I would vote in before Omar Vizquel. Right, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I like him. I'm looking for like a more well-rounded class.
Well, if you want well-rounded, Vizquel's not your guy. He was a purely awful hitter.
What I mean by well-rounded, like the class represents different things.
Oh, well,
him as a defender, him with his longevity.
You like defense. I like defense. Good offense too.
That's Scott.
And Scott Rowland.
That's a big check.
How many hits did Scott Rowland have?
Over 2,000.
Okay, well, Vizquel had 2,709.
But Rowland did it with good rate stats. Omar Vizquel was pretty bad.
Okay.
I mean, good player. I just wouldn't vote him in.
All right. I got Billy Wagner in the Hall of Fame.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Okay.
He's on Wagner, Hoffman, McGriff. Those are all on my next list of guys. Wagner is a lot better than people think.
So I looked that up. From 2001 until 2010, which was his last year in the big leagues, he had an ERA of 1 or 2 every year. In his entire 15-year career, from 1995 until 2010, he had one bad year. He had an ERA of 6 in 2000. I'm not sure what happened there. But all the other years, 1 or 2 ERA for the other 15 or 14 seasons. So he's in. And then I got Larry Walker. So I'm only putting in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys.
Roland, just put that X in
the box. No, I'm going to write in Hawk Harrelson. What do you think about that?
He should be in. You know, if we're going to have
that's a whole other podcast. All right, Rob, we've been kind of like taking a lot of the discussion here.
So I'm with Chris with the Bonds and Clemens. They're two of the best to ever play the game. And
all right.
So for me, that
doesn't bother you that they were on top of what massive Rob says, PED users.
They don't.
It seems to me like a Hall of Fame would be incomplete without those two.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Like, and denying them because of what they did would make you assume everyone in the hall is clean. And to me, I don't think that's true. Okay. So
I like that.
Unfortunately, as time goes on, more unclean players are going to be in the Hall of Fame, and everyone's perception, I shouldn't say everyone, perceptions are going to change.
And they've been gaining steam each year.
So I'm just trying to, I'm holding on to the dam. I don't want any guys in.
And I'll knock you for it. Like, you know, I think it's a completely valid reason.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that.
I respect the opinion.
Hey, whatever happened to respectful disagreements? You know, every single time people disagree, it's some like snarky comment and disrespect. We don't do that here.
But when did you, I don't know if you changed, but when did you decide it's okay to put Clemens and these guys in?
I just think the body of work is too good. Like the Hall of Fame is incomplete without those guys, as it is incomplete without Pete Rose.
And Shoeless Joe.
Shoeless Joe. I mean, you're telling a story. It's a museum.
I mean, to me, with Bonds, outside of the home runs, the guy won 7 MVPs, and he walked, 200 times, 250 times in a season with over half of them being intentional?
In that season, if he didn't get a hit, he'd have a .391 on-base percentage. That's
how feared this guy was. And I saw something the other day where Maddux was quoted saying that Bonds was the easiest guy to pitch to. He's like, because I just walk him. There's 27 outs. He's not going to be one of them.
Now, I'm well aware that, you know, end his career at what, 1999? Is that when he really started taking PEDs?
And a lot of people say 2001. 2001 because of the 98 when Sosa McGuire got all the attention. He's like, hey, I'm the best player in the game, and I'm not getting the credit just because these guys are just hitting home runs.
Here's what I feel. I'm off the top of my head, I'm thinking if you cut his career off at that point, he was Fred McGriff.
A lot of people.
Wouldn't him and Fred McGriff?
Well, no. Bonds is a more complete player than McGriff.
I think he still had Fred.
I like McGriff a lot, too. Give me McGriff in the Hall of Fame, no question. Dominant first baseman in the National League for over a decade. I would totally put him in if I had more spots. But, yeah, Bonds, just a complete player, just too good.
Complete a-hole.
That's okay.
Hey,
we did a whole podcast with Brzezinski, who has the same reputation. I love him. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, Bonds, it's just – nobody knows exactly the point where to cut the line. No. So
I know. So my line is there. The line of demarcation.
And that's fine. That's fine. I go the other way, and it's both valid reasons.
I understand why people say let him in.
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm sitting right now, I say don't let him in. Go ahead, Rob.
The rest, Vlad Guerrero, that's a no-doubter to me. Chipper Jones, Edgar. I got the crime dog in there.
Yeah. Because,
I mean,
can't knock
it. We always lived in this world of magical numbers of like 500. That was a Hall of Famer. He had 493.
So Lou Gehrig.
What's the difference? It doesn't matter. I have Manny Ramirez in there because just keep in mind that he was an idiot.
If I was to let the drug guys in, Manny is 100% in.
Exactly.
Manny's on my next.
I wanted to stay consistent.
Well, at least you're consistent.
I'd put him in too if I had a few more.
And then I had Roland, Tomy, and Walker. And it was the relievers that I thought about because of how much the bullpen is valued these days. And a guy like Trevor Hoffman, for people to say, well, he wasn't that good, like, the position was created, that stat was created, what, in the 80s?
No, 1969 was the first year it was an official. I think, like, early 60s. It was Jerome Holtzman, Chicago sports writer.
So, yes. He was he had the most saves at that time, right? Ever?
Yeah. He's second to Mariano
To Mariano.
But I want to say this.
Sure, go ahead.
Mariano, I mean, people glop them together because they're both the 600 save guys.
Oh, they're two different people.
Mariano was so much better than Trevor Hoffman. So, I don't say that. But Hoffman's worthy. Billy Wagner on a rate scale was a lot better than Hoffman. Mm-hmm. He had 33% strikeout rate, which is 10% more than Mariano and like 8% more than Hoffman.
Yeah.
But I would put all three in, really.
I see
more votes.
It's just getting the job done. He was given a job. He got it done over 600 times.
Which is the thing with the DH. I mean, that was a job. That was a position.
Yep.
And he did it great.
Absolutely.
And the closer is no different. But the bar, I mean, for me, I want a closer who's the complete dominant closer before I put him in.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Is that your whole list?
That's my list.
All right. Taking a break here. Coming up on the White Sox Talk podcast, will Jim Thome get in on the first ballot? We will discuss. You're listening to the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust. We're back in a moment. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox, members FDIC.
Hi, guys. I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit NBCOlympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
All right, we're back on the podcast. Jim Thome in on January 24th. What do you think?
Yes, I think he's one of three guys that get in. Chipper, Thome, and Vladimir. Now, you know, look at the Ryan Thibodeau has done a great job over the last few years. Not Mr. Tibbs on Twitter. Just under 40% of the vote is in. Chipper's at 99%, Thome 95%, Vlad 94%. Edgar's at 81% and Hoffman are 78%. And traditionally, if you're around there, the later votes are the guys that are the goofballs to do the blank ballots.
Yeah.
Your
number is going to come down.
Yeah, and I'm against vote shaming completely, just unless you do something like that. That's completely ridiculous. I respect everybody's vote, especially those kind enough to post their vote publicly. I think you don't have to do that, although it's getting to the point where it's almost required. But you don't have to do that, and I respect anybody who has a vote who votes within reason.
Yeah.
I'll say that. But I think, the 81 and those guys are going to probably fall off. I hope not. But Edgar's trending up. Hoffman, I think, if they don't make it this year, Messina's 74%. He might make it over the next year. Bonds Clemens within the next couple of years. But three this time. Thome, definitely.
So when I ran into Jerry Reinsdorf at the baseball winter meetings, I asked him, is Thome is going to get in? First ballot. And this was his quote. He said, it would be a joke. It would be a total miscarriage of justice if he doesn't get in on the first ballot. How many non-steroid users have hit 600 home runs? Not many with steroids have hit 600 home runs.
Well,
I can't even conceive that he doesn't get in on the first
ballot. I don't know if I'd go that far. I definitely think he's a first ballot guy. Now consider this. I'm going to throw this at you. It doesn't even include home runs.
Okay.
All right. So most seasons with 100 RBIs, 100 runs, and 100 walks, right? There's six players that have had at least eight seasons like that. Ted Williams, Jim Thome with eight apiece. Frank Thomas with nine. Barry Bonds, 10. Babe Ruth, 11. Lou Gehrig, 11. Now that is elite company.
That's very elite.
Jim Thome is like, he's the guy who invented the what I call the done, a walk, a strikeout, and a home run in the same game.
So call it a Thome.
I just think it's more Dunnish. And Tomey's going to get into the Hall of Fame. I'll give something to Dunn. Right. Right?
In my opinion, if we're going to judge people outside of the Hall of Fame, say like a Curt Schilling, if you don't agree with his ways, the same should be for Jim Thome, who's one of the nicest guys ever. Said on top of being one of the best baseball players ever, he's one of the most likable players ever. That should be an account.
I think that'll probably help him again.
I would say a few of these percentage points are due to the fact that he was one of the nicest, most personable guys you've ever seen.
And that makes you a good teammate.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not just how he deals with fans and the media. It affects the clubhouse.
I can't think of anybody who said anything bad about him.
I'm sure there's one or two people that dislike him, but I've never heard anything.
No.
Probably Bonds, right?
Okay, well, there is somebody here in Chicago who is not voting for Thome. You heard about this, right? This is Mike Imrim, who is a writer for the Daily Herald here in Chicago. He put his ballot together. He's got Bonds, Clemens, Guerrero, Hoffman, Jones, Martinez, Mussina, Ramirez, Schilling, and Sosa.
That's a very peculiar ballot.
Here's what he said. He goes, many of you are thinking, Sammy? Yes. Thome? No. And he said, Sosa gets one last nod because there's a good chance he won't receive enough votes to be back on the Hall of Fame ballot next year. Thome will get in, either this year without my check mark or next year with it. You know, it's that hem and egg thing where you're like, well, he's going to get in anyway, so I might as well vote for other guys. And that gets me upset. Like, just vote for your guys.
Don't be upset at him, okay? Don't direct your upset at him. Do it to Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
They're the one who set the limit of 10. And in strategic voting, I could totally understand why he did it. Now, by the way, I'd vote in Sosa, too, if I had more votes. Okay. 19, like I said. And even Hideki Matsui, maybe.
At this point, you'd probably vote in Orlando Hudson.
No, Hideki Matsui, though.
Aubrey Huff.
You want to include, if you can include his Japanese stats, he's over 500 home runs.
But you can't.
But it should. Well, look.
It is the Baseball Hall of Fame.
There was some pushback over who got to come over back then, right? So it wasn't really in his control.
It's not perfect.
Back to this, though. Yes. And if I understand the strategic voting, to keep people on the ballot, I get it. That should change. But then again, I kind of understand why the Hall of Fame might want to do it, and that's the kind of – they don't want to have an overflow of people. They'd rather have them spread out because of the induction ceremonies. And it gets – I mean, it's a small town. And they'd rather have two or three every year than eight this year and none next year.
Well, listen, you're going to have already, you have Alan Trammell and Jack Morris.
Right.
And at least, it sounds like, three other guys. So you could have a class of five people.
Five's big. Now, we had six when Frank got
injured. Yeah.
Yeah. What a magical weekend. Everybody, if you're a fan of any of these players, do make it a point at least once in your life to go to Cooperstown.
Yes.
It is phenomenal.
Okay, and I want to add one other person to my ballot, I've just decided. I want to put Brad Lidge on the ballot because he gave up the home run up at 70.
There you go. White Sox. That's a very White Sox answer of you. I respect it, though.
Hey, I'm putting someone in the Hall of Fame for giving up a home run.
You know, here's a name that I didn't mention that I would also give some consideration to. Johan Santana is a dark horse kind of guy.
For 5 years, he was the most feared. He was maybe the best pitcher in baseball.
That's a pretty good peak, though. 5 years is nothing to sneeze at. If you go with all the guys with over 2,000 innings, he's 11th all-time with ERA plus of 136, which means he's 36% better than league average when you take into account park and league.
And I think White Sox fans, if people were to vote all across the country, he would get most votes from White Sox fans because we saw his very best.
Didn't touch him.
He was excellent.
We're at the receiving end of that dominance for years.
All right, so what are the odds? I've gone to one game in my life at the Metrodome before they faced Santana and they beat him 17-7.
You were at that game?
The 04 White Sox.
I remember that.
It was Mother's Day. And
that team you can pick them.
That team was a wrecking crew. That 04 Sox team
they
before everyone got injured.
They could hit.
But, yeah. You know, and Santana, dark horse, as is Andrew Jones. Okay. I would consider him, too.
All right. Before we go, we have a great new feature that you're spearheading, Rob. It's
correct.
Called Meet the Prospects. Explain what we're doing before we get to Sox Fest.
So we're just going to we're profiling one prospect a day for the fans to get to know them. Chris helped come up with all the little tidbits and information for it. Just keep an eye out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those guys. No particular order.
So you're gonna have to go check back every day and see who is gonna be.
We're not going 1 through 26, but we're leading it up all the way to Sox Fest.
And it's on the NBC Sports Chicago Twitter handle and
the
Instagram.
Twitter handle
and Facebook,
on the website.
Facebook.
It's on everything.
It looks great.
It does look great.
Rob did a wonderful job coordinating this thing. Yeah. Our guys in graphics have done a tremendous job making these look good.
For that one.
Yeah, for sure. The video, the graphics, everything.
Okay, and I noticed it started with Eloy Jimenez and then went to Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
No.
I was wondering about that.
It's just my own little jab.
It's kind of wow. We're going to start with the Quintana trade.
Yeah.
Okay, but then it was Dane Dunning was in there.
Dane Dunning was.
Okay, so we're three in.
Mm-hmm.
And before we go, White Sox spring training tickets go on sale on Friday. Go to whitesox.com/spring or by phone. Go to 1-800-352-0212.
How about that? February 14th, pitchers and catchers report. That's not far away.
I know. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I love that.
We need it badly. All right. This was fun. Good stuff, guys. And we have five other podcasts to do because of this podcast.
Yeah.
We'll have to.
I'm in for all of them.
You're in for all of them.
Yeah, we got the Dick Allen podcast.
Kurt Schilling podcast.
Kurt Schilling podcast for sure.
Yeah, the Omar Vizquel podcast.
Hey.
There's a whole bunch. All right, the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/socks. That is wintrust.com/socks, and we'll talk to you soon.